It's certainly good for us to be back with you today after being away in Dyer County, Tennessee, in gospel meeting work with the Main Street Church of Christ in New Bern, Tennessee. Appreciate so much the opportunity to preach. It's a great privilege to preach the Word and a tremendous responsibility as well. And I'm grateful for this opportunity to stand before you today and to speak unto you the Word of God. Appreciate all who've come, and we encourage you to get your Bible and to study with us from the pages of God's inspired revelation. In reading through the book of Deuteronomy recently, there's a passage that caught my attention. In chapter 4, when Moses, exhorting the children of Israel, said, beginning in verse 23, "Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." That's Deuteronomy 4, 23 and 24. The Hebrew writer, in exhorting first century Christians to be steadfast and unmovable, picked up on this concept in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 18. When he said, "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burning with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape, if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." It's that last statement that I'd like for us to consider in our study this morning. Our God is a consuming fire. As I got to thinking about that, I thought of different occasions throughout the Bible where it's vividly illustrated that our God is a consuming fire. The first thing that came to my mind was the dealings of our Lord with the inhabitants of the ancient city Sodom and Gomorrah. You may remember in the book of Genesis in chapter 13 where strife arises between the herdmen of Abram and the herdmen of Lot. And Abram, being a peaceable man, says in Genesis 13 and verse 8, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren." And he proposes a separation. He said, "Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." And you may remember how Lot sees the well-watered plain of Jordan, and he chose him all the plain of Jordan and pitched his tent toward Sodom. According to verse 13, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So wicked were they that in chapter 18, when the Lord reveals to the great patriarch Abraham what he intends to do to these cities, Abraham begins to intercede on behalf of the inhabitants of those cities. And the Lord says that he will not destroy it for 10's sake. But even 10 righteous people could not be found in the cities. In Genesis chapter 19, through the mercy of God, Lot is spared from the destruction of these cities. In Genesis 19 and verse 17, the angels, when they had brought them forth abroad, said, "Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed." And in verse 24, the Bible says, "The Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground." Our Lord made reference to this event in the book of Luke, in chapter 17 and in verse 29, saying, "But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." Surely God's dealings with the ancient cities of Sodom and Gomorrah is evidence of the truth that was spoken by Moses in Deuteronomy 4 and repeated by the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 12, that our God is a consuming fire. But also, as I thought about this concept of God being a consuming fire, I thought about another episode in the Old Testament that illustrates that concept, and that is in the book of Leviticus in chapter 10. Just two chapters earlier, we read of the priest being consecrated to the Lord, and in chapter 9, the first sacrifice is being offered. Now in chapter 10 of Leviticus, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Now listen to verse 2. "And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Surely those who witnessed that occasion, if they could stand before us today and have something to say, they might just say, "Our God is a consuming fire." But then there's another example of our God as a consuming fire in the book of Numbers. Notice in Numbers chapter 11, as the Lord's people are wandering through the wilderness toward that land that was promised to them by the Lord, the Bible says in Numbers 11 and in verse 1, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp." What do you think about that when you hear that read? I think about our God is a consuming fire. "And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them." I suggest to you that Taberah is evidence of the truth that our God is a consuming fire. What was it on this occasion that caused the anger of the Lord to be kindled and the fire of the Lord to burn among the people? It was the complaining of the people. Notice the Bible says, "When the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it." I need to realize that the Lord hears my words. And when I complain, it displeases him. And on this occasion, there were a number of people who lost their lives and were buried because the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them. Notice, in addition, the Bible says in verse 4, "The mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat?" The people forgot from whence their blessings came. But also, when I think about our God is a consuming fire, I think about the story in the book of Numbers in chapter 16. We read of Korah and Dathan and Abiram, who rise up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, "What did these men say? Ye take too much upon you. seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. These men are taking part in a rebellion against God's appointed leadership. When Moses hears it, he falls upon his face, and he speaks unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do. Take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow, and it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he hath brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also? For which cause both you and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord, and what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer. 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they gat up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram, on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out, and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. Can you imagine being there on that occasion and seeing the ground just cleave apart, break apart, and then come back upon these men? And if that's not enough, Notice in verse 35, there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. When I read that story, I can't help but think about that statement in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 29 when the writer said, "Our God is a consuming fire." But then notice in the book of 1 Kings in chapter 18, if we're still not convinced that our God is a consuming fire, think about the contest that took place between Elijah, the prophet of the Lord, and the false prophets of Baal. In 1 Kings 18 and verse 17, we read where Ahab sees Elijah and says unto him, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks. And let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And I'll dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I'll call the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, "Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for your many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under." And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them, and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked." And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past and they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, "Come near unto me." And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be thy name." And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, "Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." And he said, "Do it the second time." And they did it the second time. And he said, "Do it the third time." And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, what'd they say? "The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God." What an impression that must have made on those people. And wouldn't you have liked to have been there on that occasion? When God answered by fire, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and licked up all the water that was in the trench? Surely from these instances of it being demonstrated that our God is a consuming fire, we would answer, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. And realize that the Lord God is a consuming fire. One other example from the Old Testament. In the book of 2 Kings in chapter 1, we read where Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say unto them, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that ye go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. And when the messengers turned back unto him and said unto them, why are ye now turned back? And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us, and said unto us, go, turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, he was an hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50, with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of an hill. And he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. This happened a second time. Again, also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50, and he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And then we have the rest of the story in verse 17. He died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. What do all these stories have in common? They illustrate the truth that Moses spoke in Deuteronomy 4, and the Hebrew writer repeated in Hebrews 12, that our God is a consuming fire. Somebody says, that's the Old Testament. But notice in exhorting New Testament Christians to be steadfast and faithful in Hebrews 12, the Hebrew writer picks up on this concept that is illustrated time and again in the Old Testament and says, our God is a consuming fire. And certainly at the last day, when Christ comes, it will be demonstrated that our God is a consuming fire. For in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse 7, as Paul wrote the church at Thessalonica about the coming of our Lord, he said, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, now listen, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Did you know that when the Lord comes, He's going to come in flaming fire to take vengeance on those who do not know God and who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 20, John said in verse 11, he saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. In light of the fact that our God is a consuming fire, let me suggest to you that we need to obey God. You remember in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse 8, the Lord will come in flaming fire taking vengeance on them. Them who? Them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I need to obey the gospel. I need to hear the gospel. I need to believe the gospel. And I need to be moved to obey the gospel by repenting of my sins and confessing my faith that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and obey the gospel and being baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins. I need to obey the gospel, lest the Lord come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on me, and I be forever separated from the Lord in the lake of fire. But also, in light of the fact that our God is a consuming fire, I need to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Isn't that the conclusion that the Hebrew writer drew in Hebrews 12 and in verse 28? Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Why? Why serve God with reverence and godly fear? Why serve God acceptably? For our God is a consuming fire. I can't read the Old Testament and not realize that God never has just accepted any kind of service. But I need to serve God acceptably, and I do that with reverence and godly fear. I need to stand in awe of God. I wonder sometimes if people today have enough respect for God, if they realize who God is, that our God is a consuming fire. It's demonstrated throughout the Old Testament time and again, isn't it? And it will be seen at the last day. But at the last day, it'll be too late to appreciate the fact that our God is a consuming fire. We need to appreciate that today. And we need to realize that the Lord, He is God, and that He is a consuming fire, and that we need to obey Him, and we need to serve Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. If you've not obeyed the gospel, or you've not been serving God acceptably as a Christian with reverence and godly fear, would you be moved by the thought that our God is a consuming fire? To make your life right with Him, having heard His word, would you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you repent as He's commanded? Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish, He said in Luke 13 and verse 3. Would you confess the Lord before men? As the man of Ethiopia said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 8 and verse 37. And allow us to baptize you today, immerse you in water, for the remission of your sins, that you might be added to the church by the Lord. Maybe you've already obeyed the gospel, but you've not been faithful. You've not been serving God acceptably. And you need to repent of sin in your life and ask for God's forgiveness. We would encourage you to do that. In light of the fact that our God is a consuming fire, we invite you to render obedience to the gospel as together we stand and sing. Won't you come?